नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So this week and next week, devotees from Bombay are not coming because many of our devotees have gone to Mayapur for yatra. About 30-40 devotees have gone to Mayapur. So I think next trip they are coming on 7th, 8th, I think. 7th and 8th. That's Monday, Tuesday, I think. So we would like to complete this verse today with all these different qualities, half of which we covered before. I think we discussed on this equal in both happiness and distress. Samadukka sukham. Kshami. Kshami actually means forgiving. Prabhupada has translated it as tolerant. Because only a tolerant person can be forgiving. Without tolerance we cannot forgive. Actually, forgiveness is the quality of a brahmana. One who has the ability to forgive is considered to be very brahminical. Because in this world there is a tendency for always taking revenge on others. That is why this world is seen by common people as a competitive arena. This world is not seen as a cooperative arena. It's not seen as a place where we can, there is abundant for everyone. And there is no need of, actually there is no need of cutthroat competition. But why the living beings compete and have such competition? Because everyone wants more than what they need. So everyone considers everyone else as an enemy. And whenever such interactions take place between people, people lose this tolerance. See, tolerance is called as titiksha. This word titiksha is used in the scriptures. Krishna also tells Arjuna, tam titikshasva bharata. Learn to tolerate. So one of the advantages of knowing I am not the body, I am the soul, is also that we will learn tolerance. Like for example, if some suffering comes in your life, at least there is a hope. There are two hopes. One is agama apayino anitya. Suffering has come now, it will surely go away. It's not going to last forever. Happiness, and just like the night comes, and the morning sun rises in the east, night will go away. In the same way, the sufferings also in this world, they come, they stay for a while and go away. So you have that hope, especially when you suffer from some disease or something. You know that it's going to go away after some time, so you tolerate it. You tolerate that. That's why Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, all the sukha, dukkha and all, they come, they stay for a while and they go away, just like seasons come and go away. Like now summer season, people are finding it very hot now. But we can hope that it will go away. After some time, it's not going to stay forever. And another thing is, good news is that we are not the body, we are the soul. Otherwise this body is such a miserable thing. Once Prabhupada was giving a lecture, a very fat lady had come for the lecture and she was very heavily breathing. She had great difficulty just moving her body from, some people have very heavy bodies. So she had a very tough time. So she attended Prabhupada's lecture, at the end of which she came to meet Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked her, what did you understand? What did you like? She said, Swamiji, you told one thing that was so nice. She said, what is it? She said, I heard that I am not the body. That gave me a big relief. Big body. Isn't it? So it's a big relief for us. Otherwise this body is so horrible. This sharir is called as klesha da. Da means to give. Narada means one who gives Narayana. Kleshada means that which gives you klesh. So the body is called as Kleshada. Who uses this word? I think Rishabhadev uses. Asannati Kleshada Ashadeha. Kayam Deho Deha Bajam Duloke Kashan Kamanagade Vidubujamye. Tapodivam Putraka Yena Satvam Shuddhya Jasmano. Not that verse, another verse. Nunam Pramatta Kurute Vikarma Dindriya Priti Apranoti. Nasadu Manje Yatatmanoyam Asat Api. Kleshada Ashadeha is this. Asat Api, this body is Asat and it gives suffering. So, we have to learn to tolerate in this world. When you, just like imagine if you have a wound in the leg, sometimes you get a wound. You hit something and you get a wound in the leg. And sometimes the wound gets growing deeper. And flies come and sit in that. You apply medicine, still it doesn't get well. Sometimes it goes from bad to worse. So you feel severe pain. When you walk, when you're limping, you have several different kinds of pain you feel. One is the wound itself is painful. And then other people look at you and say, hey, you're limping, what happened, what happened? Everyone asks you. And you feel great pain. Sometimes, every time, you know, when you sleep, you forget it. When you get up, again the pain. Oh, the wound. Sometimes you feel, I'll take a, you know, knife or something and cut off this portion of the leg. So that I won't feel any more pain. Is it the solution? If you feel even more pain. Similarly, this material body can be compared to that wound. This material body is a source of pain. But you cannot commit suicide to leave this body. But one has to find out how we can refrain from sense gratification and engage this body in Krishna service. To positively use this body as a springboard to ascend to transcendence. Go back to spiritual world. So, we need to be very tolerant to tolerate the sufferings of this world, because this world is actually dukkalayam. Sufferings will come. There are many people who try to use tranquilizers, painkillers and all to forget the pain, or they take some stress pills to avoid. At least, you know, it keeps you in forgetfulness for some time, that, you know, that's why people go for all those intoxicants. But then the fact remains that suffering is there. You can't run away from it. There are sufferings in this world. And the sufferings are actually given for a purpose. So, a devotee knows, I am suffering because I am away from Krishna. You know, the greatest suffering is to be away from Krishna. All other sufferings are subset of this one big suffering. The greatest infinite suffering is that we have been separated from Krishna. And there is the greatest curse in this world is forgetfulness of Krishna. There is no other greater curse than this. So, first we have to learn to be tolerant in approaching and understanding the ultimate meaning and goal of life. You know, Buddhist people, they say that this body is a source of suffering. You end this body. It's like cutting off the leg, just because it is paining. And just like Prabhupada used to give the example of the eye. Somebody has a cataract in the eye. Somebody tells, oh, your son is having cataract, you just kill him, you won't feel pain. That is Buddhism. And Mayavadi is what they say, you pluck out the eye. So you won't feel pain. Similarly, we have form and personality. So we cannot run away from emotions. We cannot run away from the personalities. We have to find out why are we suffering, why this cataract has come. So Vaishnava philosophy says that there is cataract in your eye. If you remove the cataract, you can see clearly. Similarly, when we are tolerant in this world, that is why this verse, Tattena Kampam Susamikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam. This is considered a very special verse in Bhagavatam, which talks about how a devotee greatly tolerates all kinds of adversities. It says, Bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam hrit vad vapuhubir bridan namaste jiveta yo mukti sadevata dhyabhag. It says, one should accept all the adversities with hrit vak vapur. Three things. You should accept with the body, with the mind, with the body, with your words, and with the heart. Hrit means the heart. One should accept all the adversities that come. How? One should accept that these are all owing to my own bad karma, which I have done in the past, that now I am enduring the sufferings now. Neither devotee accepts all the adversities in life. And he offers obeisances. Hritva kapur bidadan namaste means he offers obeisances. So, if you don't learn this quality of tolerance, then we will go to the mode of passion. In mode of passion, we may try various possibilities to avoid sufferings, and we cannot avoid actually. People go crazy, some people commit suicide. There are so many people who try to escape suffering in this world. So, if you have a positive outlook to life, keeping Krishna in the center, then one can become tolerant. Now, this is with respect to our own body, but a devotee is also even tolerant with others who are causing trouble towards the devotee. You will see that the tolerance of great devotees is unparalleled. You see Ambarish Maharaj, what was his tolerance? When Durvasamuni tried to kill him using a big demon. Actually, it's a very wonderful comparison. Durvasamuni, he couldn't tolerate one small thing. Ambarish just took some little bit of charanamrita that he couldn't tolerate. Such a small thing. It's not a big offense. But on the other hand, Ambarish tolerated such a big thing. Can you imagine somebody is trying to kill you by creating a big demon and Ambarish just tolerated? There is one famous verse in the first canto of Bhagavatam. If anybody knows, you can tell this full verse. Tiraskrita, Vipralabda, Saptakshipta, Iti Prabodh, like that it begins. You know, this verse comes in what context? It says, what is the nature of a Vaishnava devotee? Tiraskrita means somebody ignores you, neglects you, they don't even look at you. You are going to them as they are calling you, but then they are ignoring you. So if a Vaishnava is ignored, or if a Vaishnava is insulted, or if a Vaishnava is assaulted, or if a Vaishnava is even killed, hata, that's the last thing. It begins with tiraskrita, like that it goes. And then it says, even at such a situation, a Vaishnava is very tolerant, it is said. So this is spoken in connection to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi, Sringi cursed him that within 7 days he will die. He gave a curse. But Parikshit did not. Parikshit.
Car.
There is a vehicle, MH12 CD13779. It's a four wheeler. MH12 CD13779. Please park outside of the compound. Somebody has kept inside the compound, please kindly park this car outside. Because somebody else is supposed to park their car. MH12. So this talks about the titiksha. You see, this kind of tolerance, not only we see in Parikshit's life or Ambarish's life, Yudhishthira Maharaj's life, how much they were tortured by the Kauravas. They were very, very tolerant. But we will see Narada Muni, in line with the Bhakti Shastras, if you see, Bhakti Shastras also say that although one has to be tolerant, at the same time, the Vaishnava should know. For example, if anybody comes to you and tells you, you are a Vaishnava, so you have to be tolerant, so I will stab you. Can you get stabbed by someone? Why can't you get stabbed? Why you wouldn't get stabbed? Why you would stab someone? Yes? Do we have a reason? Yeah? The body is meant for Krishna service. Body is meant for Krishna service. Of course, we would stab for a different reason, because we feel it is painful. We may not want to accept the pain. But the actual answer is, that the body is offered by the Lord for His service. He's given us the body, so we should use it in His service. So we don't want to, when Prabhupada was attacked, when Prabhupada was in the West, there was one David, isn't it? Prabhupada was saying on his lap, and actually Prabhupada was having hopes that this person will become a great devotee. So Prabhupada was typing in his typewriter and everything. So one day this fellow came completely drunk, and I'm completely addicted by drugs. So he was, his eyes were staring at Prabhupada as if he was having the sign of a murderer. He was about to murder. Then Prabhupada, fled from that place. He didn't stay any longer. Because Vaishnava knows his body is Krishna's property. which should be used in Krishna service. Of course, he'll have to separate everything there and he went from there. So we should not be foolish to be killed by others. But the tolerance, the point of Titiksha, it explains, especially the quality should be achieved in the heart, that one should be very tolerant. And that means one should know, even if somebody is causing you some trouble, how does the Vaishnava see it? He sees that this living being is actually pure, but it is covered over by some problem, some impurity, which makes him behave wrongly towards me. Like, you know, at one time somebody spoke to Prabhupada in a very arrogant way. And then after that Prabhupada left the place and he was telling his disciples, maybe I must have done some, you know, sin in the past, due to which the reactions are coming to me now. He was telling. So a great devotee always takes like that. He doesn't immediately become defensive or reactive on the other person. So that is actually the quality of tolerance. Actually, we can see Prahlad Maharaj, despite so much torture of his father, can imagine somebody is trying to assassinate you, kill you, and Prahlad Maharaj is praying for his father. He's telling Narsingadev, after Lord Narsingadev killed his father. So Prahlad Maharaj is asking Lord Narsingadev, when Lord Narsingadev asked him whether he wanted any benediction, that time towards the end he says, "My dear Lord, if you can kindly, you know, forgive the offenses of my father and please kindly liberate him. Otherwise he will go to hell. His destination is hell because of his kind of life that he lived. So this is a very great example of tolerance, that even if someone wants to harm you, you always wish well for them. That's like a sandalwood tree. You take an axe and cut it, it gives out smell. It gives fragrance. The more you hit the sandalwood tree with an axe, the more it will give out good smell. That's the very nature of the sandalwood tree. It can't be otherwise. It has to be like that. There is an example of Jesus also. There were two thieves who were also crucified along with Jesus that evening. So they were on either side. One of them was laughing at Jesus. He said, "You are a fool. At least we both are thieves. So we were caught and we are crucified. But in the name of God, you are unnecessarily being crucified like this. You are a fool. Why don't you better admit that there is no God? And why don't you save your life? So you are a fool." He was ridiculing and laughing. Whereas the other thief was telling, "Oh my dear Jesus, I have firm faith in you that you are Son of God. And the path that you are treading is the righteous path. And we people have committed sin and we are being crucified here. But now at the last point of my life I am feeling that I have wasted all my life and I have displeased my eternal Father, God. But is there any hope for me?" He was asking. So when Jesus heard it, he told that man, anybody who repents sincerely for their sin is immediately redeemed of all the sins. Immediately. It is said the hot tears of repentance that come from the eyes, which actually come from the heart. Such hot tears of repentance have the ability to wash away all the sinful reactions. So Jesus told them, "This very evening we both will meet in heaven." He told them like that. And then when he was about to be crucified, he offered a prayer to Supreme God. He said, "Oh Lord, please forgive this person, especially the other person who was crooked in nature." He told, "Oh Lord, please forgive him, for he knows not what he is speaking." He said, he doesn't know actually what he is speaking. He's a fool. He actually doesn't know how he is originally pure. He is covered over. That's why he said, "Hate not the sinner, hate the sin," he said. So this is one way we can be tolerant. If you always hate only the sin and not the sinner, then we can be very tolerant in this world. So it's a challenge, certainly, to endeavor to see everyone spiritually, to see everyone as a part and parcel of Krishna. Then we can be tolerant in this world. Certainly all of us have enemies in this world. If I ask all of you to, for a moment, to close your eyes and contemplate, you know, at least there is one person with whom you have developed some hatred in your life. Maybe more, one is minimum. It may be two or three or five, and depending on our nature also, what is our nature, how we behave. You may think, you know, everyone is good in this world except that one rascal. You will think like that one person or one. And everyone has different type of enemies. So actually Duryodhana has no enemies. Ajata Shatru, the word is used for Yudhishthira. Although Duryodhana was considering himself to be enemy of Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira never treated him as an enemy. He always tried to wish well for him. You will see that. So this quality of tolerance is Titiksha is very important quality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says Tarorapi Sahishnuna. One has to be more tolerant than a tree. Taror api means more tolerant. Sometimes they say taror iva sahishnuna. But in the proper verse spoken by Mahaprabhu, he says taror api sahishnuna. Taror api means more tolerant than a tree. Like you see the bird comes and sits in the under the tree for the shade of the tree. And it eats the fruits of the tree. But it picks the same tree. You have seen this woodpecker. Isn't it? It pokes the tree and makes hole in the tree. Now the tree doesn't ask, you get my fruits only, you took my shade and you are picking me only, you nonsense. You have any intelligence? He doesn't ask, he is very tolerant. Similarly, you will find sometimes, even in your preaching you will find, sometimes you preach, somebody becomes a devotee and later on he becomes envious of you. You will find that sometimes it can happen even in a devotee circle. So a devotee has to be very tolerant. That's why Tararupi Saheshnuna, it is said. A tree gives shade, it gives shelter to squirrels and ants and birds and the snakes and the human beings who come and take shelter of the tree. The tree gives out bark, valuable gum, sometimes honey also. Sometimes the branches of the tree, some flowers of the tree are special, some fruits of the tree. And in the winter season it takes all the cold and keeps the underneath portion of the tree warm. In hot summer day it takes all the heat of the summer and bhata varsha tapahiman sahanto varayantinaha. He tolerates all the summer heat, but then it keeps the shade very cooling. Actually this verse was quoted by Krishna himself. When Krishna takes his friends once, I think this pastime comes after this Yajna Brahman's wives, they offer prasad to Krishna, and Krishna is walking in the forest with his friends. So he is telling his friends a very famous verse. This is in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He says, what is the famous verse? What is the first part? Before that verse, Etavad Janma Safalam Dekhinamina Dekhisho. One verse before that, he says, Pashyat Yetan Mahabhagan. All of you can repeat this verse. Pashyat Yetan Mahabhagan Parartaikant Jeevitan Vata Varshata Pahiman Sahanto Varayantinaha Yetavad Janma Safalyam Dehinamihadehishu Pranairartairdiyavacha Shreya Acharanam Sada. So he is telling, Pashyata Yetan, just look at this wonderful tree. Pashyata Yetan, Mahabhagan. Parathair Ekanta Jivitan. He is living only for the benefit of other people. So in Bhagavatam, in many places this is used again and again. It is said, if a human being is living for selfish purposes, to satisfy his own selfish demands of his body and his family members only, then such a selfish person is considered to be living dead. Living dead means he is walking, so his breathing is compared to bellows of a blacksmith. Like that. So in this world it is said, one should always live for others' benefit. Parate ekanta jivitan. One should live for others. Of course, social welfare workers are also living for others. They are doing some benefit. It's a good beginning. But then, that doesn't cause the ultimate benefit. Because no matter how much social service you do, people's suffering can never be ended by putting a full stop. Krishna consciousness puts a full stop to suffering. If one gives Krishna consciousness, you help them to end their term in the material world and you give them a residence in the spiritual world. That is why, that is actually the Parartha Ekanta Jivitan. And then it says, Vata, Varsha, Tapa, Himan. During heavy winds, And Varsha means during heavy rains. And Tapa means heat. Himan means cold. And heat, cold, wind, rains, and all these times. Sahanto Variyantinaha. He tolerates all of it and he gives shade to the people. But such a tree sometimes is mercilessly cut off by a woodcutter. Isn't it? And the tree doesn't protest. And it is a taror api sahishnana. Why? Because we have the mouth to speak and shout, isn't it? Whereas the tree cannot shout. Or even if the tree shouts, nobody can recognize it easily. You need special machines to detect it. So, that is why it is said human beings should be more tolerant. So, when we become so tolerant, then Chaitanya says we can chant constantly. Of course, this appears very lofty or too high an ideal to think of. We can come one step below and try to understand this tolerance. As devotees, sometimes we become envious of materialistic people. Why does a devotee become envious of materialistic people? Why? Many times devotees ask question, Prabhuji, you know, we are leading such a nice life, you know, we are chanting Hare Krishna every day. But see, that materialist is not doing anything, he is flourishing. He has got a car, he has got a bungalow, you know, he is getting foreign chants, he is getting so much money. And you know, our situation is same, we have not improved. So this goes to show the neophyteness of the devotee. So a devotee should never become envious of the materialistic people. So a devotee should know that in whatever situation Krishna has kept me, that is for my good. One should learn. That is also another point, santushta, he says. In Bhagavatam, there is a verse which says, if one is wearing the shoes of self-satisfaction, sometimes you have seen people wearing a shoes up to the knee, what do you call that shoe? Gumboots, isn't it? Undershirt they call it, yeah. So if you imagine you are wearing a shoe like this, and then now you can walk on thorns and pebbles and any kind of road, isn't it? Sharp stones are there, you have no problem. So that shoe is compared to self-satisfaction. It says, Bhagavatam verse says, I think this comes in the Vamanadeva section, I think. It says, one who wears the shoes of self-satisfaction can very easily, happily go through all kinds of, dangerous adversities and sufferings in life that are offered by the material nature. And the such a person will never be disturbed. He will be very peaceful. But only thing is, we need that shoe. We have to find out how to get it. If you can get that shoe of self-satisfaction, you are... That's why he says, santushta, satatam yogi. Always satisfied. Whatever comes of its own accord. Okay, today Krishna is giving me rice dal, no problem. Take rice dal. Another day Krishna is giving me gulab jamun or nice sweets and there are 10 items, 8 items. Wonderful. So today Krishna has given me a very nice dress, costly dress, very good. Another time you get a simple dress, no problem. Today Krishna has kept me in the top rank of society, richest man. You be rich, Krishna has made me poor, that is also all right. So any situation is all right for a devotee, because devotee wants to serve Krishna. He doesn't go by the facilities. Okay, whatever facilities Krishna gives me, I will serve with that. Like that. That is the meaning of a devotee. So, when a devotee should never become envious of materialistic people. You cannot compete with them. If you want to compete with them, then you have to give up your devotion service. Are you ready for that? Otherwise, we cannot compete with them. They will work like we say, working like donkeys, we say, isn't it? They will work like anything and they are going to make money. And they will be, sometimes you find they do all kinds of atrocities and still they are going on. Isn't it? That's surprising sometimes. Sometimes you find a non-devotee is doing all kinds of bad things and you find that he is escaping from the punishment also, and he seems to be apparently enjoying. So this is like, sometimes the Hiranyaksha was, left by Lord Varahadev, for some time. It's just like a cat plays with a rat before he kills the rat, like that. So Lord also sometimes allows the non-devotees to apparently flourish. So a devotee may get bewildered and may become envious of a non-devotee. So, then, that is why it is said, a devotee should keep away from demons. From dveshis, a devotee should keep far away, for various reasons. One reason is, if you keep away from the non-devotees and materialistic people who are envious of God, then your mind will be peaceful. always associated with devotees, like-minded devotees, who glorify Krishna, whose mouth is full of nectar. You talk to devotees, you feel so nice. You feel as if you are at home when you talk to devotees. They always, because the demigods, they have a nature to always be cooperative. The demigods always have a nature to glorify Vishnu. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashyanti Suraya, it is said. They always focus on the lotus feet of Vishnu. So, our mind will be calm and peaceful. At the same time, by keeping distance from them, not only our mind can be escaped from contamination, those people also will continue to do their materialistic business without becoming blasphemous of the Lord. By going closer to them, you will make them blasphemous more. You have seen that with some people. You speak about Krishna, they immediately show their color. They become so envious, simply envious. So it's better that we leave them to do what they want to do and not unnecessarily kindle their blasphemous nature. Like that. And we can also, from a distance, you can pray for them. Nobody can scold you why you are praying for such a person. Even Jesus prayed, I said. You can pray for an envious person. So in this way, a devotee has to be tolerant. Often people ask this question, why do bad things happen to good people? They assume that I am a good person and bad is happening to me and that cannot happen. So why do bad things happen to good people? So this very assumption that I am good itself is a big mistake. We may think I am a good person now, we don't know what we did in the past lives, so many million lives. At any given point of time, we should be ready to face any adversity. It can happen. We can only pray to Krishna. We should never tell Krishna, please Krishna, don't give me trouble. That's a wrong prayer. We should tell Krishna, please Krishna, give me the strength to tackle any kind of trouble that you want to put in front of me. We should always pray for the strength to tackle the difficulties. If you tell the Lord, don't give difficulties, foolishness. Because we have only earned those difficulties ourselves. So it's better to pray to the Lord to give us the strength to tackle it. Because God can give us the strength. See, we cannot kill a demon, but Krishna can kill a demon. Just like in, you never find in Vrindavan any coward boy killing a demon and telling everyone, see, I also killed a demon. You'll not find one. You'll find always, whenever coward boys have difficulty, what they do? Just pray to Krishna, that's all. And Krishna kills the demons. Similarly, a devotee doesn't fear adversities. He tolerates them. And when it goes beyond your tolerance, then you pray to Krishna. And you will find that when Vrijavasis found that the torrential rain sent by Indra was intolerable, they immediately pray to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabahu, Tvannatham, Gokulam. You are the master of the Gokulam. So, Tratam. And you can give, you can offer us protection. So one should immediately pray to Krishna. Like that. So, this is quality of a devotee, being tolerant, always satisfied. Santushta satatam yogi. Self-controlled. Yatatma, dridanishchaya. Actually, there is one quality in the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava called as Vijita Shadguna. There is one quality amongst the 26 qualities. Which means, Vijita means what? Conquered. Vijita Shadguna. This Shadguna is actually the Kama Krodha, Lobha Mad Mahamatsarya, those things. So Vijita Shadguna means a devotee has conquered those six urges. Then the devotee is called as self-controlled. This word self-control is also used in the verse on knowledge. What is that verse? Amanittam madam vittvam ahimsa akshantir arjavam Acharya Upasanam Shaucham Stairyam Atma Vinigraha. That word Atma Vinigraha is self-control. One requires to have self-control. Actually, self-control is a very deep word. It has many plenty of multifaceted meanings. For example, you go to a library, there's a board put up there, silence. And if you don't see it, and if you have a habit of being talkative, you keep talking and somebody just calls you and shows you the board, just look at the board. Become silent after that. So for some people to keep silent is very difficult. They are like a chatterbox, we say. Chatterbox. So that is also one type of self-control. Similarly, sometimes everyone is served sweet one gulab jamun. And then you are looking whether second service is coming. But generally you don't find for sweet, they don't have second service, generally. Sometimes you are hoping, maybe if I wait for some more time and everyone is gone, I can get. So if you lack self-control, then you will become shameless, isn't it? Sometimes you become shameless. This is owing to lack of self-control. Actually, we can see right from our young age as we grow, only when you come to spiritual life, we are taught about the self-control. We need this discipline of self-control. When we are self-controlled, then we can work wonders in life. That's like when there is a flood, there is a dam for the flood. When you put a dam, what happens? Then the flood can be harnessed into valuable water stored, which could be used for irrigation or something later. When you put a dam, if you don't put a dam, then there is danger. Then the water will finish off all the fields. It will just flood the village, it will kill the people, it will submerge all the houses and everything like that. Similarly, we also have many urges which have to be harnessed in Krishna service positively. And if done positively, all these qualities actually can be dovetail in Krishna service, and it can actually become the cause of elevating us in Krishna consciousness. Like these six qualities, often Mayavadis condemn them and they try to become free from them. Mayavadis often say you have to become desireless. Nobody can become desireless in this world. It's a practical impossibility. And it is simply cheating if somebody says, I am desireless. Even in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse which says, Apuryamanam machala pratishtham samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashanti mapno tinakama kami. In this verse it says that a self-realized sage's heart is compared to your ocean. And the desires that are coming in and going out are compared to rivers. That means even in a self-realized sage's heart, the desires will come. And the desires will go. This coming going of desires are compared to rivers entering into ocean, going out of ocean. So even a very elevated person cannot avoid the desires. But we have to know what is the quality of one's desire. That's very important. When Madhendra Puri went to Ramuna temple, we were having Madhendra Puri's appearance yesterday. We were celebrating in the temple, we were speaking about Madhendra Puri. What was the quality of his desire in the heart? So he wanted to know, in Vrindavan I have a Nath Dwara, the Gopal, same Gopal. And the Gopal lady I have in Vrindavan. And now I have come to Ramuna. Here is the temple of Gopinathji, Radha Gopinathji. So he wanted to know, I want to know what they are offering to these deities. And he heard that there is something called Amrita Keli. It's a very nice, sweet rice. Very special. And the pujari said, nowhere it is offered like this. It's very, very unique. So immediately in his mind he thought, how nice it will be if I can exactly know how they cook it. How does it taste if I can know it? What was his intention? So I can go back and make it for my Gopal also, I can cook. So there are devotees who get very fine desires like that in their heart. So these are very fine quality desires. So we all have a tendency to desire. Only thing is we have to change the nature of our desire from material desire to spiritual desires. So you can't avoid. Like our eyes have a desire to see beauty. So instead of seeing perishable material beauty, we have to see everlasting spiritual beauty of Radha and Krishna. That is the way we can dovetail our tendencies. So if you see the six qualities, like kama, for example, kama is lust. So when love is severed into lust, soared, you know what is soared? Lust is soared into lust means, love is soared into lust means just like add lemon to the love, add lemon to the milk, it becomes sour. Like that, this pure love for Krishna has turned into the lusty propensity in the material world. So, in Bhagavatam, there are so many vivid examples given. One example comes to mind in one of the chapters, a very wonderful example. There were some aborigine women who had hefty bodies. And these aborigine women, they were extremely lusty in their hearts. And the lust could not be satisfied by any means. So once they saw Krishna passing through the forest wearing a beautiful Vaijayanti Mala garland, and when he was passing through the forest, they saw from a distance. So they rushed to that place, and by the time Krishna had passed away from that place. But then they found there were many leaves and foliage on the ground, and the kumkum from Krishna's pinkish reddish feet had fallen, and it was there on the leaves. So they picked up those particles of kumkum and applied it on their chest, and immediately their lust was eradicated. It is there. So it's a transcendental experience for these aborigine women. How? Hridrogamashu apahinoti acharena dhiraha. It is said in Bhagavatam. Meaning, when one hears Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, but not from anybody and everybody, but one should hear anushuniyat, one should hear it in parampara, from a proper devotee who is himself practicing Krishna consciousness properly. Then such hearing of Krishna Katha can eradicate the lust in the heart of the hearer. And if anyone with great Shraddha explains it, Atavarana Yedya, this verse says, Vikriditam Vrajavadu Viridam Chavishno Shraddhanvita, with great transcendental faith, Anushunuyat, one who hears it, Atavarana Yedya, or one who explains it, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hrid Roga Mashu Apahinoti Achirena Diraha. It says, that even before you become free from lust, the bhakti enters your heart, it is said. That means bhakti enters your heart and then kicks out the lust from your heart. Bhaktim Param Bhagavati, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur highlights this point. He says, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya. Pratilabhya means having achieved bhakti, then the kama goes out, he says. Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam. Hridrogam. Kama is called as a hridrogam. It's a heart disease. It's a disease state when one feels infatuation. Because why it's a disease state, we will see that the lust is not, lust is never satisfied in this world. It's compared to a fire, and in the fire you will see no matter how much oil you put, petrol you put, it just keeps growing bigger and bigger. In this world our lust is not only sex life, lust is also the hankering to enjoy the pleasures of the different pleasures, like the pleasures of the tongue, the pleasures of the eyes, the pleasures of the ears, the pleasures of all different limbs of the body. So this lust. So it is said, Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hrid Rogam Ashu Apahinoti. Then your lust will be, when lust is eradicated by hearing about Krishna, that is the time you will feel satisfaction in life. Because the lust transforms into love again. Hridroga Mashapa, you know, the Achirena Dhiraha, a person becomes a Dhiraha. That's why the great saintly people like Shukadeva Goswami is a Dhira. He's talking about the pure loving pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. You can understand it is not ordinary because they are real Dhiras. Or like Shankaracharya is writing Gopi Ashtakam. Achyata Mahaprabhu is glorifying Ramya Kajit Upasana Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpita like that. So, Shukadeva Goswami says in Bhagavatam, Gopiyat Kamat Bhayat Kamso Veshat Chedya Dayan Rupa. That is the verse which says that all these people, they engage different of the six Shadguna in Krishna's service. Gopiyat Kamat, the gopis of Vrindavan, through their pure love, which apparently looks like lust, through their pure love, they very easily became free from the material world and they ascended to the spiritual world. One develops such attraction for Krishna. One develops such a eagerness to meet with Krishna. When Prabhupada was giving a lecture once, there was one boy sitting in the lecture called Mr. Paul. So Prabhupada speaks about him in the cassette. So when he began the lecture that day, that fellow was sitting in the front row. Because Prabhupada had already spoken about the different stages of devotional service. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya and all. So this Paul was asking Prabhupada that, Swamiji, please tell me how I can get this prema as soon as possible. And how can I get this Krishna prema? How long will it take for me to meet Krishna face to face? So Prabhupada appreciates it. It's wonderful that this kind of eagerness is very much needed. One has enthusiasm and eagerness, then one can achieve Krishna very soon. So the lust can be satiated or pacified only when one develops attraction for Krishna. Now the next question would be, what if one doesn't have attraction for Krishna? Which is an obvious question. That is why one should develop attraction for a pure devotee. Like Srila Prabhupada. and the Prabhupada's writings, Prabhupada's pastimes, we read under Acharyas down in the line and one spiritual master. If one develops attraction, what happens by the principle of attraction? If you develop attraction, you have to do what they tell you to do. That's how one can work on the life. So it says, Kama Krishna Karmarpane. One should engage the Kama in working hard for Krishna. And then it says, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. One should engage one's Krodha in what? Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Actually, one can become angry, but only in certain circumstances, it says. When you find that when Lord's devotee is offended, then you can become angry. Or when Lord is offended, then you can become angry. You know, this it was Nakula, I think. Nakula, sorry, Nakula, I think. Yeah. In the Raju Yajna, it was happening, at one time, Shipal comes out. And he protests that Krishna cannot be chosen for this Agra Puja. He is unqualified. And Shishupal starts blaspheming like anything about Krishna. He says Krishna is like a crow who has come and taken away the ghee that's kept for sacrifice. And many, many things he says. He's not even a king, he's simply a coward boy and everything. So when Nakul heard it, he became very, very angry. He came in front of everyone on the stage and he lifted his left leg. Like this he lifted and he said, if there is anyone in this assembly, he roared like thunder. He said, if there is anyone in this assembly who cannot accept Krishna for this Agra Puja, if he has the courage, let him come in front of me. I will kick his helmet with my left foot, he said. And he said, and he took out one arrow and said, this arrow is not arrow. This is equivalent to Yamaraja's danda, danda which he has. If anybody has the courage, let them come and stand in front of me. I will kill them and send them to the court of Yamaraj right now, he said. So, this is a sign of transcendental anger of a devotee. So, such anger is actually glorified. When our Lord is offended, one should not tolerate it. One should actually establish Lord's position. Shastra said three things one should do. Either one should plug one's ears and go away when the Lord or devotees are blasphemed. Or one should be bold enough to defeat the opposite party by proper argument, if one can do that. Otherwise, one should cut off the tongue of the person, a blasphemer, which is certainly not possible. They will take you to jail if you do that. So, out of the three, which is possible for us? If we can defeat, we should defeat. And if you are not very confident, better we leave that place. Plug our ears and leave that place. One should never hear the blasphemy of the Lord. So we have the right to become angry. Especially when... So anger can be used, like for example, sometimes the teacher may be artificially angry on the child. He may show an angry face, isn't it? So that the child will do the homework or something properly. Similarly, devotee also sometimes may become angry positively for Krishna's service. Such positive anger is appreciated. It's not that... All the emotions have the place in Krishna consciousness. Even in the spiritual world, there is transcendental anger. One time, when all the coward boys, when they returned from Talwan, they all were carrying the fruits, eating. You know this Dhenukasura pastime, isn't it? So now everyone had the fruit, they were carrying a lot of fruits with them. So when they returned home, so Mother Yashoda was there and she was watching why the children got so many fruits with them. So she called them and they were telling, Yashoda Mai, today do you know Krishna killed such big demons today. Then she asked, where? Then they said, we went to the Talavan, we got the fruits, all these fruits. But to get these fruits was not a easy joke. It was a remote jungle. And there was no one there. And Krishna and Balram had to kill all those demons which came in the form of donkeys, isn't it? Asses. So Mother Yashoda heard it, she became very angry, transcendently angry. So she became angry on the covered boys, why did you take my Krishna there? It's such a dangerous place. So this is a transcendental anger. So sometimes the devotee may exhibit transcendental anger in the spiritual world also. Spiritual world is a place of emotions. That is why the material emotions which we exhibit towards materialistic people of the world should be transcended by spiritual emotions, which are experienced in relation with Krishna. Then we become divine, transcendental. You cannot give up these emotions, but you have to experience them in relation to Krishna, like that. So this is about anger. We talked about kama, we talked about krodha, and talked about mother. Mother is actually madness. Because of nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yad indriya priti apranoti. Rishabhadev is saying nunam pramatta. Matta itself means mad. Pramatta means sufficiently mad. Unmata means gone out of bounds. That's unmata. Matta, pramatta. These are different degrees of madness. Matta, pramatta, unmata. Like that. So here it says nunam pramatta kurute vikarma. People who are sufficiently mad, that means sufficiently mad means they are convinced of what they are doing. So just like, for example, killing animals in organized slaughterhouses, millions of animals. And similarly, killing babies in the womb, aborting children, these are all considered mad activities. Or even killing one another in the name of wars. Sometimes you see these concentration camps where countries bring the other countrymen and they torture them and they make them eat stool, drink urine and kill them, cut off their head and all that. So this kind of torturous behavior, like Hitler killed millions of people. Stalin, they killed millions of people. Very cruel. So when one becomes sufficiently mad, one indulges in such activities, horrible activities. Actually one can go crazy. These are what I am talking is very gross. But there are different levels, matta, samatta, unmatta. You can become maddened by the materialistic things of this world. But Vaishnavas say, how can you become mad in Krishna consciousness? Mada Krishna guna gane. You can become mad in dancing for Krishna and singing his holy names loudly and become intoxicated in his holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So, it is said one should drink this liquid mellows of holy name and get intoxicated. So, the holy name has unlimited sweetness, as explained by Rupa Goswami. And if one attentively hears it, then one can become maddened by the holy name. Just like sometimes you see the bumblebee. Bumblebee drinks the honey, he becomes mad. Similarly, a devotee also by drinking the nectar of the holy name can become mad. Like that. And kama, krodha, mada, lobha. Yeah. Love means greed. In the material world, people are greedy for earning more wealth, having more possessions. And there is no end to their greed. Sometimes, you know, people often find difficulty to put a end to their demands. Their mind makes such unlimited demands. They don't know how much security I should earn in life. Like if you are having in thousands, then your mind tells you a few lakhs. If you are a lakhpati, then you feel at least I should become a crorepati. Isn't it? There is no end only. You know this story of Tolstoy, you know this? A man, you know, he wanted land. And the landowner told him that you take as much land as you see, everything is mine actually. You can run and take it. But only condition is you have to come back in the evening, before the sun sets. Of course this man ran and ran and ran and ran. You know, by noontime he realized, now I should begin returning. Otherwise I can't reach the other end by sunset. But then his greedy mind told him, no, you go ahead. Then he went ahead almost till 3 or 4. 4 o'clock he thought, now I have to run back, otherwise I won't get these lands. So when he ran back, on the way he vomited and foam came out of his mouth and died on the spot. So this is not one story, there are many stories like this for greed. So many stories are there for greed. So greed is very dangerous in this world. Because although there is enough in this world for eating and staying in this world, the whole world is in trouble today because of this one thing, because of this greed only. The wars are because of this greed. America is thinking it's better to get Iraq. Why? Because they have oil. Why don't we take over their power? So then we can continuously have a supply of oil and we don't have to pay anything. Isn't it? And every country is thinking like that. We should become, like British people for example, they were going from one country to another. Their idea was we should bring everything under one rule. And we will be in the top. Everything should be British. Now we can see Great Britain has become Small Britain now. No more great now. So Prabhupada said, Punaha Mushika Bhava. You know, from rat, you become cat, you become dog, you become tiger, and then again you ignore, then you want to eat the sage and you become a rat again. Like that. So this is a world of competition and greed. Greed is fueled in everyone's life like that. People's hearts are hankering more and more. Everyone wants more, more, more. Now money is the only thing. Now after money, possessions. After possessions, then property. All these things. Desire for gold, desire for wealth, desire for proprietorship, having more and more and more and more property in my name. This is my own piece of land. So people feel a lot of satisfaction in that. So it requires little intelligence to think that nothing belongs to me, everything belongs to Krishna. Either we voluntarily give it up before we die, or it will be stripped off from our hands. And we see that happening in everyone's life. Everyone has to go. Prabhupada in one of his conversations says about how people fight for a place in the train. Prabhupada laughed and said, just see, people fight for a piece of land, fight for a place in the train, foolish. Because it's a short journey. Life is also a journey. So a devotee is generally not greedy. At the same time, a devotee is greedy for another thing. He is greedy for propagating Krishna consciousness. And a devotee thinks, how nice it will be if I can get more money for preaching Krishna consciousness. How nice it will be. So Prabhupada would be going in his car, he would peep out of the window and see. So see that beautiful mahal, how nice it is. If you can have it for our ISKCON, how nice. And you can make a beautiful temple for Radha Krishna here. So he would always talk. Like when Prabhupada went to Fisher's mansion in Detroit. So his disciples took him there. Who were the two disciples who took him? Ford and another one was Lekha Shavanti Mataji, I think. Lekha Shavanti Mataji and Ford Ambarish Prabhu, they both took Prabhupada there to see the beautiful Fisher's mansion. This Fisher's mansion, even today, if any of you go abroad, you should surely go to Detroit Temple in US. Such a beautiful place, location it is. Backside of the temple, there is a big lake also. You can have a lake view from behind. And the temple is like fully made up of marble, you know, the wash basin, everything is made up of, you know, gold taps and everything. It's a very costly thing. It was $23 million, even at that time, when they took Prabhupada. Anyway, somehow disciples brought him there to see. And Prabhupada saw everything and he said, this is just the place we are looking for. This is exactly the place we want for Krishna. And Prabhupada said, this is wonderful for us. And Prabhupada said, you know, I have been always looking for a place. This place is very suitable, only we don't have money to get this place for Krishna. So then they took him to the owner. The owner came there and Prabhupada met him. And as soon as Prabhupada met him, the first thing Prabhupada said, your mahal is very beautiful, and the owner was very satisfied that the party has agreed. It seems that they are going to purchase it. So Prabhupada appreciated him and then he said, this mahal, Prabhupada said, is fit for a very rich man, like a royal king to live. This is so beautiful. Only thing is, we are beggars. He said, we don't have money to buy this. And the man didn't say, he just kept silent. Prabhupada said, why don't you give us in charity? Directly asked him, if any of us went, we would feel a little shy, isn't it? What will you think, you know? What will you think about me? What will happen to my image? You know, we may think like that. Prabhupada frankly asked him, why don't you give it free? And somehow Prabhupada spoke to him and preached to him and he spoke many philosophical points to him. And gradually that person came to just $3 million. From $23 million to $3 million, can you believe? Immediately Prabhupada told both of them, immediately sign the check and pay the amount immediately. On the spot they paid. Of course, after a week, after the devotees occupied everything, that man immediately sent some truck and he started lamenting because his friends started accusing him that you really were foolish in giving this and all that. So he sent a truck to take off all the golden taps and everything, whatever he had, put some accessories, at least that much I can grab, he thought. So somehow Krishna acted through this pure devotee. When Krishna wants, it is said, when Krishna wants anything to be done, he will do it himself. Through the medium of devotee, he can do it like that. So you can see Prabhupada was always spiritually greedy for more and more. Like somebody brought a big suitcase to Prabhupada and gave him. Prabhupada opened, it was full of money. All 500 rupee notes and 1000 rupee notes. And Prabhupada's eyes became dilated. And he was in big smiles. And there were some guests who had come there. They were sitting and they were looking at Prabhupada's face and they were really bewildered. He thought, how can this Swamiji wearing saffron? You know, he is opening a suitcase and he is so happy seeing the money. Sadhus are supposed to be, you know, renounced. And then Prabhupada opened the suitcase and he called all the devotees, called this devotee, that devotee, called many, many devotees, and he took the big, big bunch of notes and gave them, take this, this is for the deities, and this is for the that department, this department, this is for the Sankirtan. He gave everything. The whole suitcase was empty and he gave it back. And he said, very nice. And Prabhupada said, try to follow up this man, he can give more regularly. You know? So, and Prabhupada one time said also, there are many sadhus who say, you know, I don't touch money. But Prabhupada said, myself I have no problem, you can give as much as you want. I can use in Krishna's service. One time when Prabhupada was in Bombay, one businessman had come to meet Prabhupada. Seriously, he met Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, I came to know that you just took 40 rupees and you went abroad and now you have practically made 40 crores traveling all over the world. I want to know what business you people do. How are you so successful in business? And Prabhupada said, why don't you join me? Prabhupada immediately gave him offer. So, of course, when Prabhupada returned to India, people abundantly gave him money to make the Juhu temple. You can see many of them gave marbles. You can see the Vrindavan temple even today. Because people could see the purity of Prabhupada and Prabhupada's surrender to Krishna and Prabhupada's, and the kind of work he did, it's unimaginable. Preaching abroad. So Prabhupada was in one sense greedy, but he was greedy for serving Krishna. A devotee is never satisfied. Sometimes the devotee may toil so much day and night, torturing his body to serve Krishna. Because he loves Krishna so much that he is ready to put his sweat and toil. Just like a karmi works very hard. Sometimes you find karmis in the office, they even miss their lunch. But why they work so hard? So that they can get money and they can enjoy with family. They don't know anything beyond that. They think, my mother, father, we will go for this tour, that tour, we will enjoy life. Because they don't know anything beyond that. So there is nothing great in this world if one is working very hard for selfish purposes. But if one develops such attraction for Krishna that he works hard for Krishna's sake, then that lavalyam is appreciated. Lavalyam api ekala mulyam, Rupa Goswami says. That lavalyam or the greed is a price you have to pay to achieve Krishna, he says. If you don't have that, sometimes you think Krishna consciousness means, you know, you have to do minimum 16 rounds and follow 4 Ayurveda principles. Minimum, rock bottom minimum. That's not enough. Of course, if we do rock bottom minimum, we may make some progress. But if we develop this intense greed to propagate Krishna consciousness, we should want to make many, many people into devotees. We should want to make Krishna's fame known everywhere, in as many places as possible, to as many people as possible. So that eagerness is very much required, that greed. So this is using our greed positively. What is left? Moha is illusion, isn't it? The illusion of this world is to think this body to be the self, and all the things connected to the body to be the sources of enjoyment. That is actually moha, illusion we say. There is a transcendental moha also, which is called as yoga maya. Yoga maya, in which the devotees of Krishna forget Krishna's position. Not like an atheist forgetting Krishna's position. The atheist forgets Krishna because he is in ignorance. Whereas devotees forget Krishna's position out of intense love for him. Like Vasudev, you know, and Devaki were very fearful that Krishna should not be, you know, in the jail, that we have to take him elsewhere. They are very fearful. They want to protect Krishna. Like Yashoda and Vrindavan, for example, not only Yashoda, even the other covered women, they all fear that, you know, the cows may put their hooves on Krishna's thighs. What will happen to the soft thighs of Krishna? They fear. Or monkeys may scratch his body. So whenever the monkeys come to eat butter, the gopis are very afraid. Or Krishna may just go in the middle of the road and some danger may come, some demon may come, they are always afraid like that. Actually nobody can harm Krishna, being God, but they don't know that Krishna is God, out of love for him. Just like Like Prime Minister's mother, for example, she may know he is Prime Minister, but the love for him is so overwhelming that the person's position as PM goes to the background. The love dominates. It comes to the front and the person's position goes to the background. That's why you find demigods, you know, offering prayers, "Oh Lord, who has a super soul, you know, controller of three modes of material nature." The demigods always glorify the Lord in respect to material nature. Whereas the devotees glorify Krishna in relation to spiritual nature. You will see that. Yashoda Anandan, Brajajana Ranjan. Like that they glorify him. Like we sing this song, what is it? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopijana Vallava Gidivaradari. All names are in relation to the spiritual world. Whereas if you call the Lord a super soul or, you know, controller of three modes, you know, master of three worlds, you know, they are all in relation to material world. They are all called as secondary names. So devotees glorify Krishna with primary names like that. So we can also pray that we get such kind of attraction like the devotees, so we can be placed in yoga maya. And last thing, envy, I will not discuss today. It's a big topic. It was discussed before also. Adveshta sarva bhutanam. One should give up this envy. Actually, among devotees, there may be sometimes some kind of competition. But ultimately, every devotee is a well-wisher of every other devotee. Devotees never harbor any malice in the ultimate level when they become purified. But in the early stages, there may be some amount of competitive mentality, even in devotees. But we should take care that that doesn't become envy. If it becomes envy and if it grows, then we may become demoniac in nature. So we talked about envy, I think, in the beginning class, so I will not talk about it now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.